Youth sport has the power to shape lives, but too often we get in the way of that potential. From putting too much focus on systems and results, to neglecting mental and emotional development, to leaving parents out of the journey. These mistakes don't just hold back kids, they can push them away from sport altogether. In this episode, I'll break down the 7 most common mistakes made in youth sports programs and share how we can flip them into opportunities to build stronger athletes, better people, and healthier communities. I'm Ian Hawkins, and this is Sport is Life. The purpose of sport, as I see it, is to see your vision become a reality. Find your voice, create strong connections, and learn to trust your body. There's a new ad campaign at the moment from Gatorade. And while I'm not a fan of the product, and that's probably a whole other episode, I've done a heap of work on nutrition and particularly around sugar, which those sort of drinks are full of. But I love what they stand for in this campaign. And it's called Fuel Tomorrow. And it's basically to keep Australian teens playing sport. Now, this is something that I'm really passionate about, and the ads are powerful because it shows a parent on the sideline yelling a whole lot of things that you can see it just sapping the confidence and the soul out of these teenagers playing sport, and it happens all too often. Some of them aren't quite as brutal as that and as obvious as that, but there's a lot of things happening in so many youth sport programs, setups, clubs that are having an adverse effect on our teens and causing them to stop playing. And so I thought, well, what are those main things? So today I've put together the 7 things that are having, probably the 7 things that are missing from So I thought about what are those things that So what I came up with today is the 7 things that are most common when people get it wrong in their youth programs, their youth sport programs. Now the first one is too focused on the system, on the gameplay, and not enough on skill development. I've seen this in many different places, particularly in the football, the soccer world, where I spend a lot of my time coaching. Is that there's a lot of things being put in place which have been an improvement on how things were before. They're trying to sort of standardize how Australians play football. I'm not sure how much I agree with that either. There needs to be more flexibility. But I see that people go off and they learn the curriculum and they come back and they overcomplicate what they're coaching to young people. Instead of focusing on what's most important, and that's making sure they're developing as footballers with their individual skills, because when they can do that and they learn foundational stuff, when they learn the fundamentals, then they can fit into any system. So it's overcomplicating it, it's stopping it from being enjoyable, and it's taking away from what the real benefit of sport is at that age, and that's the developing them as young people. So that's the first one. And I'm not going to go too deeply into that because I'll get on my high horse and get too frustrated. But I also know that happens across a lot of different, even academies. I know watching my young fella play at a high level in football, they just barely touched like the individual skill development. It was all around trying to play to the system. So don't do that. Second one, there's a lot of people, mistakes a lot of these youth programs are making. There's an over focus on raw scores and results. And also things outside of the control of the young sports people, of the athlete. So what do I mean by an over focus on? There's still an element of we want to teach young athletes and young sports people to be competitive so that they know how to win, not just on the sporting field, but in life. But when you have an over-focus on results and those sort of outcomes, you're inadvertently building in massive amounts of pressure. They suddenly get lost away from what they should be doing, whatever their coaches told them in terms of the play, the game plan, the skill development, and they start making decisions from a pressure situation to try and get the result. And that doesn't work at any level of football. This is the very thing that they coach at the highest level of sport, is to focus on process, to stick to the plan. Stick to the plan, stick to the process, we get the results. So why would we do it any different at youth level? So it's, if you have a way that you're going to play that's simple, easy to understand, also develops them as young people, and they play to that, and they are super competitive in terms of how they apply themselves, how much effort they're putting in, how much they want to get certain results, then the results will take care of themselves. But when you've got two teams playing together, or in other sports where there might be multiple teams in a certain situation, only one team can win. So the reality is there's going to be times where your team loses. So if you teach them the best way to go about that, they're going to have far more good days than they are bad. But if you just focus on the outcome, the score, the results, they're going to have a whole lot of days where they underperformed because either the pressure got too much for them, or they self-sabotaged. Because what all the studies show is that young people would sooner not try at a subconscious level, sometimes consciously, but mostly at a subconscious level. They would rather not try, so at least they know why within themselves that we didn't go well. So we want to remove that to be praising them for their ability and focus on the results. And then, like I said, overly focus on things they can't control, like yelling at them for making mistakes, yelling at them for things that they're trying to do well, but they're just getting wrong. Because the people at the highest level make mistakes. So why would these young people developing, learning, not make mistakes? Of course they're going to make mistakes. But what it is, it's like instead teach them how to be more resilient, how to be able to bounce back from those mistakes, from those setbacks, how to recover, how to lift up their teammates when things go wrong. Focusing on what they can control. That's what your youth program should be focusing on. The third thing, inadvertently putting pressure on the coaches, on the athletes, on the young sports people and their parents, by creating programs where they set standards again that are outside of the control of all of these people. And instead, set standards based on values and based on areas that they can control. Now, I won't go over the control element again, but instead, it's like just the pressure comes, like I said, it's inadvertently. But if you're putting expectations that can't be met by areas of control, well then, you're setting everyone up for failure and for disappointment, and you're heaping a whole lot of unnecessary pressure on everyone. The other thing that needs to be nowhere near your youth program, and it happens and people don't even realize, is that blame game. As soon as something goes wrong, and I've seen this in so many different sporting organizations, I've seen it on the field, it flows the whole way through. As soon as something goes wrong, point the finger at someone else. Oh, it was this, it was that, someone else's fault. Let's blame the coach, let's blame one of the players. If you play at the back, let's blame the forwards. If you're in the forwards, let's blame the back, let's blame the goalkeeper. Other sports, let's blame other, you know, the defense, the attack, whatever it is. It's become societal, this need to create blame. And every time that happens, you're teaching people to give up their power. You're taking away their power. I've seen it before where young players don't like the coach for whatever reason. And instead of the program educating the coach and giving them more support and, you know, like I said, education, let's just blame them. Instead of coming to the athlete and the young people and go, where do they need to be better? Where do they need to be taking more responsibility? We'll just blame someone else. We'll blame the coach. We'll blame a teammate. We'll blame anything else going on in their life rather than taking responsibility for what they can change. That can unravel like the most tight-knit groups the moment people start finger-pointing. If you bring it back to individual responsibility, collective responsibility, everything changes. So we've seen a bit of a pattern here, right? All of these things that are the right thing are about self-control, self-responsibility, and all of the wrong things are when you are focusing on things that are out of your control, when you are trying to blame. Fifth one is a lack of empathy. More often than not, people running these programs are really good at detail, really good at systems, and they'll set up these incredible processes, but there's a lack of empathy. And when there's a genuine complaint or someone's not happy about something or they want some feedback, then you've got people in the wrong roles then being able to have those conversations. So your system builders, your detail-focused people, the people who are great at that admin side, rarely are they very good at that empathetic, understanding, conversational side. So it's really important to have people in the roles that are the right sort of people for those roles based on what their natural skill set is. It's not about saying that, you know, this person shouldn't be in there, this person shouldn't be. It's like, no, like, let's get them in the right area. Let's educate them how they can be their best when they're showing up as themselves. And let's get the other people in the right roles that do have that empathy, that do have that customer service ability, that can listen, that can understand, that can show that they're actually listening to the complaint and then come up with a resolution. Some people are really good at mediating and peacekeeping and holding counsel, and some people are good at the detail, and some people are good at the big picture, and some people are good at performing. There's so many different areas. But if we have people in the wrong place and we have a system that lacks empathy because it's too systemized, then your youth program is not going to go well. It will go well to a point, but you'll be missing high-performance people, parents, players, opportunities within the team because there's a lack of that empathy, which creates the deeper connections. It gets everyone pulling in the same direction, which removes those little stabs that might come from little parts of the community looking for, yeah, like they're not creating trouble, but they're not happy about something, so then they want to cause some problems because they feel aggrieved, not because they're deliberately sabotaging, but that's what ends up happening. Sixth one, there's often a focus on the physical, and there's heaps of physical development, but there's not enough focus on the mental and the emotional. Again, we come back to the very first point, which is too focused on system and game plan and not enough on skill development, also people development. It's one of the best parts of playing and coaching sport, is what it does for the individual's development in a holistic way. I remember when when my youngest came back in to play local football, and they were looking for someone to come in and coach. The guy had been doing it for the previous couple of years, was happy to keep being involved, but was sort of saying, yeah, come back in and we'd really like your help. And part of me was like, well, I'm not sure if I want to go back in and do more coaching. I was enjoying having less of that. I was coaching in other areas, of course, in sport. But then one of my clients said to me, we're just talking about sport in general, as often is the case, and he said, forget about you and coaching soccer, but look at your responsibility to those young men. Think of what they will get from you stepping in and helping there, not from their soccer development, which of course they will get anyway, but because of what I've learnt about people and helping them to get better as young men. And that's all I needed to hear. He was so right. Because I have learnt a lot about the benefits of having that holistic approach, of training the mental side, of showing players how to use their emotions in a beneficial way, showing everyone who within a team environment, and that means the other coaches, that means the manager, that means the parents. And the other thing is not just some teams or youth sports programs talk about the mental and the emotional side, and they put words on there. Oh, we need to be more resilient, and we need to be stronger mentally, but they don't really have any system-wise process on how to do that. They put all this energy and time into the process of the sport, but when it comes to those things, that they're just not equipped to deal with it. It's not their fault. They know what they know, but generally the people running the show are very specialised in one area. They need to have people with them, supporting them, that are going to help them with the mental and the emotional as well. Because again, this is where you get the best development of the young sports person. And when you do that, the best part of that is that they perform better as individuals, and your teams will perform better as well. And then the last and possibly the most important thing that I see lacking, but also needs to be in these youth sports programs, is you've got to bring the parents along for the journey. Because if you don't, then you're going to have this fantastic program that's included all these things I just mentioned, but then they're going to be a young athlete or a young sports person is going to go back into an environment which is going to inadvertently, no one's doing this deliberately, is going to undo a lot of the good work. But if you get everyone pulling in the same direction, you've got the people who are going to have the best influence at home on the same page, talking the same language, then that's when you get unbelievable results. And that's when you build a strong community, which all successful sporting organisations and programs need. So you have to educate them. You have to help them see that some of their behaviours, while well-intentioned and well-meaning, just aren't helping. In fact, they're often having the opposite effect. The pressure that I was talking about before, inadvertently placing pressure on them. And if we come full circle to, like I said, the Gatorade program is making sure teens keep playing sport. All the studies say that so many children give up around 13, and it's because of the negative influence of parents. So let's get them on board in your sports programs. A lot of what I just outlined then is what I've helped my local community club with. It's what I've been helping a private school here in Sydney to do all of these things through their football program, and they're starting to see results. And it won't happen immediately. Some of it's going to take a few years to implement, and some of it will take a few years of these young athletes being in the system before that translates to results in their open teams. But they're already seeing the impact. The guy there running the show is doing a fantastic job, and I feel honoured that he's got me in to help them And together we're creating a new environment. And it hasn't, it's not been without its challenges. We've had some setbacks. We've had some people resisting. We've had some different, well, some of the elements that I've just mentioned that have played out. It's part of any, there's always going to be some creative tension when you create change and bring in change. And it's, if you've worked in any corporate environment or business environment, when there's change management happening, when there's some restructuring and that sort of thing, and there's always some teething problems. But if you can sell the message and you can explain why and bring them, show them the purpose and bring them along for the journey and get everyone in alignment, it's amazing what can unfold. So let's work together on this in our communities to make sure that we're not making these same seven mistakes in our youth sports program. So whether you're, if you're just within the program as a parent, a volunteer, or if you're working on the committee or at a higher level or a coach, whatever it is, the more you can make sure you're avoiding these seven pitfalls, but also taking on the positive version of what I just talked about, then that will have a ripple effect. If you're one of the leaders of the club, then you have the opportunity to start implementing some of these things and to actually have that flow through the whole program really quickly. The opportunity's there. Part of the conversation I had with that school that I mentioned before was no one else is doing this. No one else is coming with this holistic approach. And the opportunity for you guys is not just to be the best in Sydney, but to be the best in the world and being a school, of being a program that other places look up to, because you've built these systems that work at the highest level. But importantly, they bring in best practice for the development of young people in whatever the activity, and most importantly, brings the parents along for the journey as well. So if you know anyone working in this space and you know they need to hear this particular episode, then make sure you share it with them. I'll be hugely appreciative. You've taken the time to listen to this whole episode. Now it's time to take action. Commit to one thing you've learned today and make it happen. And to avoid any obstructions, join the Sport is Life movement by clicking on the link in the show notes.